Who wants to go to heaven? Not right now, I hope. No, it's not a trick question. But we have come to the last article of the Apostles' Creed, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Now, we talked a bit, obviously, with it being Easter Sunday last week, we talked a bit about the resurrection of the body. And what happened to Christ's body will happen to ours at the second coming. And then we will stand before him and we'll be judged. Now, I talked about that a bit last time, so I'm not going to repeat that sermon. But as it's the last one, I've thought one topic that I would really like to talk about, and it relates to the life everlasting, is the glory of heaven. Because we've talked about the other things, and the glory of heaven was really something I'd like to talk about. And we will go to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, and we'll read the first few verses. And I'll do what I normally do. I'll read a bit, talk for a bit, read a bit and talk for a bit. So the first two verses, then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. What is heaven like? Heaven is described in this passage, and several things I'd like to just point out. The first thing I would like to point out is this: the throne of God and of the Lamb. Heaven is the place where God is crowned, where God is the center, where God is all in all, and where God's glory shines perfectly. It's where God and the Lamb are both enthroned. You can read about that in John's vision in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. John is in the Spirit, and then he sees the throne in all its majesty. He says, he's so speechless, he doesn't even say, he says, there was one sat on the throne. That's how much reverence he has for God. He doesn't say God was sat on the throne, he just says, there was one. And there was claps of thunder. He's around an emerald rainbow. Living creatures cry out, holy, holy, holy. The God's saints, the elders, as they're depicted in that passage, are clothed in white with glorious crowns on, and they pick him up and they cast him before him. And they praise God for creation in chapter 4 and the work of the Lamb that was slain in chapter 5. Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. And that is one feature of heaven. God is the center. God is king and his rule is perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Because in heaven, God's will reigns supreme, completely. All God's saints are perfected, and so it's their delight to do God's will. God could say to one of the angels, you sit right at the back. And the angel would say, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. Because doing God's will is the most important thing to them. The glorified, pure saints in glory. So, the throne of God. And that is what heaven is all about. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about God. Amen. To God alone be the glory. And we'll talk a bit more about that in a bit. Life. Life. The angel showed me a river of the water of life. Verse 1. Verse 2, on each side of the river grew a tree of life. What's life about? I want a more fulfilling life. life doesn't mean anything to me. All these, you hear these slogans and they're expressions of the human heart. Well, heaven is the ultimate and truest form of life. It's eternal life. The extent of it is eternal. It will have no end. It will be forever and ever unto the ages, to the eons with God. And it will be the abundant life. It will be the fullest, most joyful, most glorious life anyone could ever dream of. Look at those two features that I just mentioned. The river, clear as crystal, and the 12 crops, with a fresh crop each month. This is abundance. This isn't just, we'll give you just enough. This is all in all, everything. God couldn't give us enough. God wants to give us more and more forever and ever of those heavenly pleasures. And I tell you, I was praying at home, or what will be my home in a few months, after the 17th of June. And I got myself, that's when I get married, 12 o'clock. You're more than welcome. Oh. And I got myself a glass, and I let the water run. And I tell you, there's nothing more beautiful, I think, than a crisp glass of water when you're thirsty. Well, God fulfills all our thirsts forever. There's a Stuart Townend song, isn't there? When suffering ceases and sorrows die and every longing satisfied, joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. And the fruit, the 12 fruits, crops of fruit, one for every month. Again, it's fresh, symbolizes newness. God gives, and then he gives, and then he gives, and then he gives, and then he gives, and he gives. That's amazing. Confession time. There's something I don't understand very much in this passage. And you know it's hard when the study Bibles don't even make a comment on it. The leaves used for medicine to heal the nations. We'll talk about the next verse in a minute. I don't think heaven will have sickness in it. I think that the Bible uses quite strong language, doesn't it? You know, and I think that's something here. There will be purity and cleansing forever because of the grace of God. I think that's what it means. If you go away, please do go away and have a think about it and look in your little books if you've got them, or Google it. And if you can think of an answer and you can come and tell me, I'd be more than happy to hear it. But yeah, it was something. I think that is it. There is purity, there is cleansing, and there is wholeness forever in heaven, because God lavishes on us grace upon grace. And you notice there's only the tree of life. We can remember the Garden of Eden. Well, we didn't obey. Jesus did. And so anyone who goes to heaven because of the work of Jesus Christ. Because he bore the sins of us all. Sorrow and love flowed, mingled down. And he kept God's commands perfectly, so he has a right to eat of the tree of life. You're united to him, so his right is yours by grace. The sovereign grace of God, that he chose you before the foundation of the world. He called you, he cleansed you in grace, cleansing grace, preserving grace by the Holy Spirit to the glory of God alone. That's heaven. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. The curse of the fall will be reversed. It'll be put right forever. No more sin, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more anxiety, no more despair, no more hopelessness. None of it, it's gone. Because the throne of God will be there. Everything will just fade into the distance. We've got all these questions. When I get to heaven, I'll ask God this. You won't be thinking about stuff like that. You'll just be seeing him, and you'll be like, what? You'll have nothing to say. We'll have nothing to say, only we love you. No more curses, and his servants will worship him. You worship what you serve. All the saints in glory will have served God and will serve him forever and ever. They belong to him. And it will be, as we've talked about, the perfect will of pure humanity will be to do the will of God, whatever it is. And we will worship him. And worship is a form of service anyway, because he commands it. And so if we are obedient, we'll do what he commands us. And then, do you know what else? As if all this wasn't magnificent enough. Verse 4, they will see his face and his name will be written on their foreheads. They will see his face. God's face. You'll see it. Moses was told, you can't see my face and live. And that's true. If God's face appeared now, the whole world would melt into nothingness. So are we going to see it? Well, we can't see it because we're sinners. But there was one who walked the earth, one who kept every command perfectly, one who loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, one who loved his neighbor as himself, every moment perfectly for his entire life. He was obedient to death on the cross, and in him we can see God, because at the end we were justified when we came to Christ, we're being made holy, and at the end we'll be glorified through Jesus Christ. So his nature will be ours perfectly in heaven. So we will be able to look on the face of Almighty God. That will be our joy through the ages. Everything will be made right. And indeed, we'll see the face of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ. That old hymn, those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified, we'll see him in his exalted majesty, in his beauty, in his altogether loveliness. We'll see Jesus Christ. We'll see Jesus Christ. Another old hymn. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. That's heaven, to gaze on Jesus forever and ever and ever. Jesus, what a beautiful name. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them and they will reign forever and ever. They will reign forever and ever. God, in his glory, will be our light. Creation will be completely new. Different laws of nature, if there are them there in heaven, I don't know, in the new heaven and the new earth. But he'll be our light. And we will serve him. We will be priests, like the high priest in Exodus. He had names written on him. We'll be serving him as kings and as priests forever. That's your calling today. That's your destiny. That's where God has called you to and will keep you to the very end if you're in Christ today. So I ask again, do you want to go to heaven? Well, we're coming to the applications now. I've just described a little bit of what heaven is like. It's a place where saints worship and they do the will of God from a pure heart forever. Examine your lives by that. Do you feel anything about that at all? You know, amen. Oh, aye, hey, hey. You know, Paul Washer, one of my, a preacher I like to listen to, he said, everyone wants to go to heaven, but a lot of people don't want Christ to be there when they get there. They just want an eternal Disney film with people flying around and all nice things, and that's perfectly normal to like that, to want that, but that's not what heaven is. So, what we've just done in this room, do you delight in it? Did you desire it? Did you want it? Were you moved by it at all? Because that's what we'll be doing forever. Is God's will important to you in your day-to-day life? Do you seek, as we've said, the King rules perfectly. Do you seek to bring your life under his rule in your life? Do you want to be conformed to Holy Scripture? Do you seek his face? You'll look on his face forever. Well, do you seek his face now? In his word, in prayer, in fellowship with his people, singing songs, even if you can't sing a note like I can. And I'm not saying there aren't days when we have bad days and I think, oh, do we have to go to church? I'm really not in the mood. Or you're going through a bad time and you think, I can't praise God now. I mean, the general tone of your life. You know what I'm talking about. So is heaven your home? If anything I've just said stirred in your heart, you can have assurance that God's Holy Spirit is working in you. I can tell by your faces. It's lovely to see. It's beautiful. It's fancy. It is. It's beautiful. Christians, meditate on heaven. Meditate on heaven. It's been nice, actually. I've heard meditation mentioned from the pulpit a couple of times. Once was by me. The first time I mentioned it, I said, meditate about Jesus. And I said, there's a person I meditate on, and, you know, she makes the day feel brighter. Meditate on heaven. Think about it. Joel Beakey, another pastor I listened to, he said, you know, we meditate more on where we're going on holiday than where we're going for eternity. Meditate on heaven. I would meditate on scripture that talks about heaven. I wouldn't, you know, don't think anything up. Just, I would think of some passages that I use are Revelation chapter 4 and 5 that I've mentioned, and Revelation 21 and 22. You can pick your own. They're just the ones I like to think of. Because that's where you're going forever. And it will have an effect on you. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on things above, where Christ is. Because it will prepare you to meet with him. It will prepare you to get ready for him. If you either die or he comes to take you to be with him, you'll be ready to meet him and you'll be happy. You'll meditate on those pleasures will cause us to fall in love with him more, will cause us to want to walk with him closer. It'll cause us to want to be holy, to be humble, to live for his glory and to say, not unto us, but unto your name be glory. Because that's what happens in heaven. It'll change us. It'll give us strength in hard times. There's this another song. These songs were brilliant. Pain in the night, joy comes in the morning. You bet. Look at this. Look at what you're going to. And that doesn't minimize what you're going through if you are going through bad times. Yes, weep and mourn and cry. And know that you've got a God, a heavenly Father in heaven. A king at his right hand pleading for you. And you've got a home through it all. That's it. I remember Sister Jackie telling me at a time, she was going through hard times. And she said, you wonder how people go through when they haven't got God. You know? As hard as times are, we can have hope, we can have faith, we can have trust that God is in heaven, and ultimately, all will be well. one guy said, philosopher, he said, oh, Jesus, yes, I'm a Christian. And when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you know everything's okay. He said, ultimately, nothing can go wrong. You can get shot, hit by a truck, or whatever, but with Jesus, you're safe. With Jesus, you're safe. And he said it that way because we do go through hard times, but we have a hope so sure, an anchor for our souls. My peace at the best of times, I trust in God alone. Meditating on heaven will excite us to service to him. Many of you may know that I like a group of Christians called the Puritans. I quote them a lot. And I heard a story about one of them, Richard Baxter. He became a pastor in a church in Kidderminster. And one of his congregation, the day he was installed, said to him, Mr. Baxter, I should like to tell you, this isn't a godly town. On the Lord's Day, I scarcely can read a chapter of my Bible and sing a psalm in peace because of what goes on in the town. Drunkenness, fighting, that sort of thing. Mr. Baxter wasn't put off. And he ministered to that town for 20 years. And when he retired, a member of parliament went to Kidderminster because they wanted to hear his last sermon. And in his diary, and in a letter to the king, no less, the member of parliament said, I walked through Kidderminster, and it was a very peaceful town on Sunday afternoon. And in the houses, I heard people, families, singing psalms, repeating the sermon, and people out doing good to the poor. 20 years, what a transformation. Was there a secret? Well, no, because it's the sovereign grace of God. But Mr. Baxter, he always said, after his dinner in the evening, he would go to his study and meditate on heaven. Because he wanted people to go there. It was too good to keep to himself. He'd get fired up. He'd know the glory of God and the majesty of God, and he'd want to share it with people. So meditate on heaven. Think about it. Get it in your soul and get fired up for God, the God who reigns there. And it'll sweeten our affections. It'll make the bitterest experience that little less bitter because we know we have a hope. Because Jesus Christ has won it for us. He's the one we've been talking about all the way through this series. He's the one we sing about. And he's the one at the end who will get all the glory. To his name be the glory. Amen. And it's the last one. We thought the Apostles' Creed. You could. Our sermon. Yes, we can. Okay, thank you. Great. So yes, we're going to say the Apostles' Creed together, if Daz could put the words up. And we can say it with confidence, knowing what we believe in. So, church, would you please stand up? Okay, after three. One, two, three. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life
everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Shall we just pray? We thank you, O Lord, for this series. We thank you that we have a hope in heaven. And we thank you for this gathering today, because this little gathering in this room is a taste of what we'll be doing forever and ever, worshiping you, singing our hearts out to you. And may we as a church be brought closer to you as we march on to that day when the church will be gathered in and we'll praise you forever and ever. Amen.